Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
The nightmare before Christmas coming early this year. Now the president's looking for a fix. I'm Shepard Smith. This is the news on CNBC.
Store shelves empty. What you order, months delayed. How to ease the cargo ship bottlenecks and get your holiday gifts on the move.
This is a big first step in speeding up the movement of materials and goods through our supply chain.
But will it be enough? Americans on strike. Thousands threatening to walk off the job. Hollywood crews, frontline heroes, even John Deere factory workers pressuring companies to pay up. The Boston Marathon bomber case in front of the Supreme Court. The arguments for and against the death penalty. Plus the clues for how justices may rule. Captain Kirk boldly goes where no 90-year-old has gone before.
The most profound experience I can imagine.
William Shatner on his trip to space and his inspirational message to the world. Uber's new idea to fix airport travel. A major boost to Social Security checks. And the FDA's war on salt.
Live from CNBC, the facts, the truth, the news with Shepard Smith.
Good evening. The world's supply chain is in chaos. Tonight, Americans are feeling the pain all over the country. Holiday gifts, they tell us, may not arrive in time. Prices are rising on just about everything, and shortages are leaving many store shelves empty. So President Biden is making moves to try to bring some desperately needed relief. Today, he announced two of America's biggest ports, the Port of Long Beach and the Port of Los Angeles, will now stay open all day and all night, 24/7, for weeks to come. The ports have been dealing with a record-breaking backup of container ships lining up off the coast and waiting to unload their goods. President Biden says FedEx, UPS, and Walmart are all vowing to ramp up shipping operations around the clock and through the night.
Today, we have some good news. They're going to help speed up the delivery of goods all across America. But now we need the rest of the private sector chain to step up as well. And if the private sector doesn't step up, we're going to call them out and ask them to act.
The global supply chain crisis is leading to ultra-long shipping delays for furniture. Costco had to bring back limits on how much toilet paper and cleaning products shoppers can buy. And school lunchrooms have been running low on food. In Utah, a school district has notified parents they expect to run out of peanut butter sandwiches within a week. Now that's desperate. Shane Wells is live at the Port of Long Beach for us. But first, CNBC senior White House correspondent Kayla Tausche. Kayla, what's the president doing?
Well, Shep, tonight the White House is calling this a 90-day sprint, just underscoring the urgency in solving this logjam, loosening this up before the holidays after months studying this issue, beginning with a February executive order, the creation of a new task force in June, and repeated calls for information from the industry, the appointment in August of a ports envoy, leading negotiations to get those goods off of ships and onto doorsteps. The six companies named in today's announcement say that with those overnight hours unlocked, they can move anywhere from 10 to 60% more containers. FedEx said with a change in hours and rail use, they can double their volume. Today, Press Secretary Jen Psaki said those companies, not the government, are on the hook for last-mile delivery before Christmas.
We are not the Postal Service or UPS or FedEx. We cannot guarantee. What we can do is use every lever at the federal government disposal to reduce delays.
Senior administration officials are also calling on trucking companies to make it more lucrative for drivers to work the overnight shifts. President Biden says long-term, the fix lies in the infrastructure packages stalled in Congress. Shep?
Kayla, thank you. President Biden says the plan to ramp up operations at the ports in California could be a real game changer in the supply chain crisis. Wait till you see how bad the backlog of cargo ships has been. CNBC's Jane Wells is live at the Port of Long Beach. Jane?
Shep, here at the Port of Long Beach, they've had behind this tanker here one terminal that's already been open 24 hours a day. It's still the only terminal that's open 24 hours a day. There are about a dozen terminals between this and the Port of Los Angeles, but they're privately owned. The ports can say, yeah, we're open, but their tenants, the terminal operators, can say, no, we're not. And that's one reason if you look out over here, you still see well over 50 container ships waiting 8 to 10 days to get a parking space to be unloaded. And even if the entire port, all the terminals opened 24/7, and that's a big if, it doesn't solve the problem of not enough truckers, not enough chassis to carry the truck containers, not enough warehouse space. And the executive director of the Port of Long Beach, Mario Cordero, says the pressure is on.
We can no longer discuss questions about lack of chassis or limited gate hours. Going forward, we need to implement solutions.
Now, we shot this video of a Walmart chartered ship last week. Walmart, Home Depot, Costco chartering their own ships to try to get stuff here faster. And as you know, Walmart, UPS, and FedEx say they are ramping up to work after hours here, but it only depends if the terminal operators we'll let them in. Even the port can say, come on in. If the terminal operators aren't, you know, it's not going to happen. The hope is that about 3,500 extra containers per week can be moved here. That's 14,000 a month. But look, between these two ports, they had almost 900,000 import containers to unload in August, the latest month we had. Another 14,000 in a month is only about 2%. So bottom line, if you're shipping, here are some dates you need to keep in mind. For FedEx ground delivery, the last day is December 9th. A UPS ground is December 15th. USPS. UPS says you got to check its site for daily ground rates, but the faster 3 day is going to be December 21st. And, Shep, that's not bad, but you have to get those goods first before you ship them to your loved ones. Back to you.
That is certainly the problem. Jane, thanks. Now, the other border crisis. For 19 months, people from Canada and Mexico have been banned from crossing the border into the United States. They can't visit family and friends. They can't eat at restaurants or shop in stores. For many in border towns and beyond, the impact has been devastating, both financial and emotional. Tonight, there's some relief in sight. The United States is now preparing to reopen the borders, starting early next month. Under the new rules, visitors from Canada and Mexico are allowed to enter as long as they show proof of vaccination. Essential travelers like truck drivers and healthcare workers, they'll also need to be fully vaccinated, but not until the beginning of January. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says the delays will give those workers time to get a COVID shot without disrupting the trade. Important to note here, the policy will apply only to legal travel, not to undocumented migrants. Homeland Security can turn away all migrants except children who arrive unaccompanied during public health emergencies. No vaccine, no job. United Airlines CEO says the company is firing more than 200 workers for refusing to comply with their vaccine mandate. He says 99.7% of United's workers have been vaccinated. 99.7%. The airline employs roughly 67,000 people in the United States. That announcement comes just a day after a federal judge in Texas temporarily blocked United's plan to put unvaccinated workers on unpaid leave if they request an exemption to the mandate. Governor Greg Abbott signed an executive order earlier this week banning all vaccine requirements. But two Texas-based airlines appear ready to defy the Texas governor. Officials at American and Southwest, both Texas-based, say they'll still require their workers to get vaccinated. Both airlines ordered U.S. employees to show proof of vaccination by next month. Southwest CEO told CNBC Today he does not agree with President Biden's mandate, but he doesn't see any other way to move forward. Organized retail crime is surging in San Francisco. The mayor there calls it lawlessness that's dominating the city. Now, one major business has had enough. The drastic action by Walgreens. America on strike. A tsunami of workers set to walk off the job, pushing industries to the brink. Can the economy handle the added pressure? fast-moving fires raging in Southern California, a major freeway closed, crews racing to battle the flames as a presidential landmark faces a serious threat.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
An update now on a story we've covered in this news hour repeatedly. People rushing stores, stealing whatever they can grab, and taking off unscathed. Middle of the day. The brazen shoplifting in San Francisco shows no signs of stopping. Police data indicates thefts in the city are up nearly 8% from same time last year. And now one company says enough's enough. Walgreens announcing it's closing 5 stores in the city because of this massive rise in thefts. A company released a statement saying organized retail crime continues to be a challenge facing retailers across San Francisco. Retail theft across the city has continued to increase in the past few months to 5 times our chain average compared to areas where we operate stores. Here's CNBC's Kate Rogers.
It was the brazen daylight robbery seen around the world after going viral on Twitter. Now Walgreens has had enough. The company closing that store and 4 others in San Francisco next month. With these closures, 22 Walgreens will have shuttered in the city over the last 5 years. As crime has gone up, Walgreens says it's made a massive increase in security investments in San Francisco of 46 times its chain average compared to other areas where it operates to provide a safe environment for shoppers. Part of that security increase is due to the chain's participation in San Francisco's 10B program, where off-duty city police officers have a presence in its stores. But it's not just Walgreens feeling the pain in the Bay Area. Organized retail criminals stole handbags from Neiman Marcus earlier this year, hopping into waiting getaway cars. And Target stores in the city temporarily limited hours this summer due to shoplifting. San Francisco's Mayor London Breed announced measures to help curb crime and make it easier to report shoplifters last month.
We can't continue to allow what we see as lawlessness continue to dominate our city and the domino effect of closures, of people feeling unsafe.
But city officials say the crime continues to hurt residents in the community who rely on the store and its pharmacies.
All of us in the city should hold ourselves accountable because at the end of the day, frontline workforce loses their job and the everyday senior and working families that need access to these items lose out.
Now, behind me is the Walgreens from that viral video, one of the stores it's closing in the city of San Francisco. The company says it will still operate more than 50 locations throughout the city, but some residents are fed up with the crime. There's even an ongoing effort to recall the DA, Chase Abudin. Shep?
Kate Rogers, thank you. The people now have the power, and they're using it. A wave of worker strikes sweeping across America. Thousands across different industries have already walked out. And even more are on the horizon. Here are some examples. Just today, we learned 60,000 Hollywood workers have set Monday as a strike deadline. Its union's been bargaining for months for a new contract with producers. A walkout would essentially bring Hollywood production to a standstill. 10,000 workers for John Deere in Iowa, Illinois, and Kansas say they're prepared to walk out as soon as midnight tonight. The company's having its most profitable year ever. But workers say they're being stiffed at the bargaining table. And just yesterday, healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente overwhelmingly authorized a strike in California and Oregon. That's more than 24,000 nurses, pharmacists, midwives, and other employees citing staffing and safety concerns. Finally, workers at Kellogg are in their second week on the picket line. About 1,400 employees walked out at four cereal plants across the country after their contract expired and they couldn't come to an agreement on a new one. Nationwide, the issues being negotiated vary widely from different industry to industry, but there's one constant. Workers want more money. Elena Samuels now, senior economics correspondent for Time. Elena, you wrote recently that the workers realize it's the perfect time to go on strike. They've been wanting better deals for years and years, and all of a sudden they look in the mirror and the power is theirs.
That's right. I think, you know, you've seen for 20 years or so workers lose a lot of bargaining power. And finally, the economy is getting a little better. The unemployment rate is falling. There are a lot of job openings. And they're saying, you know what? I don't want to put up with this anymore.
Unions are popular with Americans now, more popular than they've been since the 1960s, statistically. Does that give them more bargaining power or have those days passed?
Well, unions still represent a pretty small share of the workforce. But you see unions gaining a little bit of power over even workplaces that they don't organize. So, you know, if unions are going to bring up wages in one sector, maybe another hospital nearby will also have to bring up wages. So even though they aren't that big of a deal in a lot of workplaces now, they still have some power. And people are beginning to say, you know what, maybe those unions actually were right. Maybe we deserve a little bit more.
You wonder how long this can continue. I wonder if your reporting gives us an idea about how long someone who's not making enough money at the local retail store can go, all right, I'll keep looking and I'll find more.
Well, I've talked to a lot of workers who either went on strike and then were fired or just quit, and they often were able to find jobs that paid more. And I think one thing we haven't talked about is there's a demographic change going on where a lot of baby boomers are retiring. So this could go on for a while. Well, workers are finding they have more power, and employers are really struggling to find the people that they want at the wages that they're willing to pay.
Elena Samuels from Time. It'll all work itself out. Thank you. Tonight in our series, The Lost Workers, we focus on the winners and the losers in this labor shortage. Earlier today, I spoke with the mad money man himself, Jim Cramer. Humbled to be in your lair.
Thrilled that you're here.
Let's talk about the losers first. Who's in the House of Pain?
Oh, geez, I've got to tell you. Let's just start with FedEx, okay? A great company, we all know. Great American company,
Memphis.
Built up from nothing. But they have recently described the situation in Portland, one of their hubs. 65% of the workers are there. I would have done the different thing, Shep. I would have said 35% of our workers aren't there. Now, why aren't they? Well, some COVID, obviously. But a lot of them, repetitive work. And when there's repetitive work, we call it the Great Resignation. Hmm. People don't want to work in repetitive work. They've had some time to think.
Sure.
They spent some time at home. They have a little extra cash. We know that from J.P. Morgan's call. And they're saying, you know what? I actually want a different life.
Yeah. Let's talk about the winners. Who's navigated this labor shortage well?
Williams-Sonoma. Why? They laid no one off. So they didn't have to worry about bringing back people. Laura Albert decided, you know what? If we go and selectively say, you know what, we're going to shut this West Elm and that West Elm and you're done. If we reopen, they won't come back. Let's keep them on. Let's take the hit. Brilliant.
So anyone who didn't lay off everybody is doing pretty well.
Right. And the best, of course, was Costco. They were deemed an essential service. And they didn't lose. I mean, it's hard to tell, but I question whether they lost to anybody.
When you look ahead, where do you see relief? How will we know relief is coming?
I think we'll know relief is coming when we see things like the company Paychex, a small, medium-sized business, when they see an actual explosion, but they're beginning to see, I guess you could call green shoots, lots of new businesses starting. And you know who's starting these businesses? People who are fed up with their old business. They're going in against the people they used to work for. It's an amazing moment in capitalism, Shep. People want it for themselves. The entrepreneurs are making a move right now. They're saying, I can do it. We haven't had anything like this in a long time.
You can do it. You can do it. Jim Cramer, you're the man. Thank you so much. You should check out his Investors Club at CNBC.com. Also, our Lost Workers series continues tomorrow. Where are the women? The reasons millions and millions of women are still missing from the workforce and the work being done to bring them back. That's tomorrow night on the news. New and shocking details on Havana syndrome. For the first time, three U.S. diplomats describe what it's actually like to experience these mysterious symptoms. One of them saying to our Andrea Mitchell, it felt like I was being seized by some invisible hand. Their sit down with our colleague is next. And relief from up high for animals trapped by lava. How drones are being used to help these precious pups left behind.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
A fast-moving wildfire is raging in Southern California and forcing people to evacuate in parts of Santa Barbara County. The Alisal fire shut down a stretch of the 101 freeway, the only major freeway on that part of the coast. The fire broke out earlier this week. So far, local officials say it scorched more than 16,000 acres. Crews are scrambling to get the fire under control, but strong winds are fueling the thing. Right now, the fire is just 5% contained, and it's threatening more than 100 structures. Look here. You can see the smoke billowing behind the Reagan Ranch. Firefighters trying to protect former President Ronald Reagan's vacation home. Local officials say they're working to clean up the damage along the 101 and get the freeway open as soon as it's safe. The La Palma volcano just won't let up. More than 800 people evacuated from their homes just yesterday. Residents say they were told they had just a few hours before they needed to leave. The volcano sent rivers of lava carrying giant boulders barreling down the mountain. It's been spewing lava almost nonstop for about a month now. Sadly, a lot of pets, dogs especially, stranded on the island. Look here. They're dropping dog food from drones. Here they are, stuck on a roof after their yard got walled off by all that lava. Packages filled with food and water dropping from the drones. The company that sends these drones has been feeding animals across the island of lava for days now. The Boston Marathon bomber facing a life or death ruling from the Supreme Court. The latest from inside the court today and the direction in which the justices appear to be leaning. Hey, did you get a J&J vaccine and you're wondering, what about a booster? Do I get a booster and what do I boost with? Tonight, some answers unraveling the mystery behind mixing and matching your shots as we approach the bottom of the hour and the top of the news on CNBC. You know, it's tough to get around these days. Canceled flights, long security lines, unruly passengers everywhere. Just a few of the challenges that now sort of come with air travel. And if that's not bad enough, it's becoming more difficult to find a car that will get you home after. Enter Uber, which is now rolling out a few new features on its app. Will that solve the airport transportation problem? Here's CNBC's Seema Modi.
If flying wasn't stressful enough, then comes the challenge of getting home. Due to a shortage of taxis, more travelers are opting for an Uber or Lyft. But surge pricing, longer wait times, and traffic at passenger pickup sites are just a few of the complaints from travelers.
I think he made one pass already, so he just missed me, so he's circling around.
It's getting expensive, yeah. It is getting a little bit more expensive than what we've paid in the past.
If they don't follow the directions, then you're charged a wait time fee, sometimes which can get a little bit frustrating because it has to be disputed with the company.
At New York's LaGuardia Airport, the app said my Uber was 6 minutes away. But by the time the driver found me, it took 15 minutes from the time I booked the car. For passengers fed up of waiting, Uber now has a new service that tracks your flight so a ride home is ready when you land. But you do have to book a more expensive car.
Going home, it was about $85 minus the tip. That is a hefty price for some people. But what I appreciated was not having to wait around for an Uber.
Not all travelers are on board.
Let's say your flight got canceled. It's best for me, in my opinion, to kind of wait till you get off of your flight, get your luggage, and then get your cab.
Rideshare blogger Harry Campbell tells us drivers don't expect this service to ease gridlock at pickup sites.
That driver has to be available a little bit in advance, right? If they're waiting curbside for you at the airport, you know, that's obviously going to add to congestion.
Going into the holiday season, Campbell says the shortage of drivers remains an issue for ride-hailing companies, just as travel starts to pick up. According to TSA, passenger traffic has more than doubled compared to last year.
Our holiday season is kicked off. We'll be traveling throughout the entire season.
With a shortage of workers and flights, travel experts say it's best to book early. And what day you book a trip can save you money. Expedia says you can get a better deal if you go online and book on a Sunday versus a Friday.
Should really? That makes a difference.
5% more, 5% wow. Less.
Seema Modi, great to see you. Thank you. Inflation's hitting the essentials and our wallets. And that's what's stopping CNBC on the Money. The inflation rate of the past 12 months, now 5.4%. Like I had to tell you, that's the highest rate since January of 91. Americans feeling it across the board. Cost of gas up 42% last year. Food prices and clothes prices also up. Apple's studying ways to make AirPods into a health device, meaning your earbuds could be used as hearing aids or as an in-ear thermometer. They could even help you monitor your posture. That's all from the reporting of the Wall Street Journal. Right now, most of Apple's wellness and health features are about the Apple Watch. AirPods, maybe next. And remember all those Al Capone items we told you about when they first went up for auction? Well, they sold for $3 million. Some of the most expensive items, the mobster's favorite Colt 45 semi-automatic pistol went for $1 million. And a three-page letter that Capone wrote while he was in Alcatraz to his son brought in $57,000. On Wall Street, the Dow, boring, down one. The S&P up 13. The NASDAQ up 106. I'm Shepard Smith on CNBC. It's the bottom of the hour. Time for the top of the news. The Boston Marathon bomber sentenced to death. Now the Supreme Court weighs on whether Jakar Tsarnaev should pay the ultimate price or not. Gabby Petito, new reports her parents are headed to Wyoming to retrieve her body and get an update on the investigation. But first, the new study on mixing and matching COVID vaccine booster shots. And we finally got some answers for the roughly 15 million of us who got a single dose of J&J's vaccine. A lot of us have been wondering, do we need a booster? And if so, which vaccine would give the best boost? Well, now, a new study by the National Institutes of Health finds J&J people may be better off with an extra dose of another vaccine, either Moderna or Pfizer. An FDA advisory panel scheduled to meet tomorrow and then again on Friday to decide whether to recommend boosters for all Americans who got both J&J and Moderna shots. CNBC's Meg Terrell, easy for you to say, covers health and science for us brilliantly. Meg, what can you tell us about this data?
Well, Shep, this was the first U.S. results that we have seen mixing and matching booster vaccines. They're from an NIH trial of about 450 participants. And they looked at all different combinations of available vaccines, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. What this trial found is that a booster of any type will help, but mixing vaccine types might increase antibody responses even more. And the results were most pronounced for people who got J&J the first time around. The study authors note every combination of vaccines reached an antibody level that's been associated with vaccine efficacy of 90%, except a J&J boost to an original J&J shot. Now, what's not so clear is what the FDA and CDC will do with these results. They're from a small trial that only looked at antibody responses. And J&J has emphasized before that another arm of the immune system, T cells, are important in its vaccine's protection. Now, in meetings this week, the FDA has only asked its advisors to discuss whether to recommend boosters for Moderna and J&J of the same vaccine type. On Friday afternoon, they'll discuss these mix and match results, but they're not being asked to vote on them. Next week, the CDC's vaccine advisors are meeting on boosters as well, so it's possible that they'll make a recommendation then. Separately today, we also got to see how the FDA is looking at J&J's booster application itself. It's asked its advisors on Friday to look at a boost given at 2 months and whether stretching that out to 6 6 months might work better. Now, the FDA said it didn't have enough time with J&J's data to conduct its own independent review, but noted the company's results suggest there may be a benefit to a booster at 2 months. The agency said there were some limitations to the available data, though, including how well a booster works for people over age 60 and how well it works against the Delta variant. For all of these questions, the FDA and CDC have had to move very quickly without perfect information to make these decisions in a pandemic. The White House today noting more than 7 million people have now received a Pfizer booster shot. Millions more hoping for guidance in the next week. Shep?
Hoping for sure. Meg, thank you. The Teton County coroner confirmed today Gabby Petito's body has been released to a local mortuary for cremation. Gabby's father says he is in Wyoming now to retrieve her remains and bring her ashes home. Yesterday, the Grand Teton coroner said Gabby's autopsy showed she died by manual strangulation. The Laundrie family attorney then released a statement saying Gabby's death at such a young age is a tragedy, but he emphasized her boyfriend Brian Laundrie is only considered a person of interest. Gabby's mother fired back to that one, telling an NBC affiliate, quoting now, "His words are garbage. Keep talking." Mia Marcano will be laid to rest next week. The wake for the 19-year-old then college student is scheduled for a week from today, and the memorial service set for next Thursday in Cooper City, Florida. Marcano's family also announcing a new foundation in her name. They say its mission is to support, educate, and provide resources to families of missing persons while advocating for the protection of students and our most valuable populations. Officials found Mia Marcano's body in Orlando a week after her family reported her missing. Authorities say the prime suspect in her case was a maintenance worker whose romantic advances she repeatedly rebuffed. They say the day she disappeared, that maintenance worker used a master key to get into her apartment. Officials say he later killed himself. His body found 3 days after Marcano was last seen. Will the Boston Marathon bomber die for his crime? The Supreme Court will decide, and now it appears ready to reinstate the death penalty for Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. The justices signaled the potential move during arguments that happened today. Back in 2015, a federal jury convicted this man of the 2013 bombing attack. It killed three people, including an 8-year-old child. Hundreds of others were hurt. The Supreme Court justices are not considering whether Tsarnaev is guilty. That's already decided. He is. What the court is considering is whether he gets a life sentence or the death penalty. CNBC's Perry Russum now on why the original sentence is an open question.
It was one of the worst terror attacks in the United States since 9/11. At the center of it all, two brothers, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev being the only brother who survived. In 2015, he was convicted and sentenced to death. His lawyers appealed. And in July of 2020, a federal appeals court threw out his death sentence, ordering a new penalty phase trial, only looking at whether he should be executed. The appeals court accused the judge who oversaw the trial, George O'Toole, of not doing a good enough job of screening jurors for potential biases. Tsarnaev is now 28 years old. During his trial, his legal team did not deny his role in the attack, but said it was his older brother, Tamerlan, who was the mastermind, saying Dzhokhar was easily manipulated. His lawyers tried to strengthen their argument, bringing up a 2011 triple murder where Tamerlan was a suspect, but the judge would not allow it. The appeals court ruled Judge O'Toole abused his discretion, writing if the evidence was allowed, the defense could have more forcibly rebutted the government's claim that the brothers had a partnership of equals. This summer, Attorney General Merrick Garland suspended federal executions, allowing the Justice Department to review its policies and procedures. But with Tsarnaev's case, the Justice Department is defending the death sentence. Martin Richard was the youngest killed in the attack. He was 8. His parents wrote an essay in 2015 asking for the death penalty to be dropped. "We know that the government has its reasons for seeking the death penalty, but the continued pursuit of that punishment could bring years of appeals and prolong reliving the most painful day of our lives."
And that was published in the Boston Globe back in 2015. It has been 8.5 years since the bombs went off, and this story continues. The memorial is here behind me. Tsarnaev is being held right now in a Supermax prison in Florence, Colorado, ship called the Alcatraz of the Rockies.
our Perry Russum live in Boston. So what does it feel like to have Havana syndrome? In an NBC News exclusive, American diplomats stricken with the mysterious and unexplained condition are now speaking out to Andrea Mitchell.
The primary injury I have is what they're calling an acquired brain injury.
Acquired brain injury related to a directional phenomenon exposure. What did the neurologist tell you about the changes in your brain?
He said, well, it's like you aged, you know, 20, 25 years all at once.
How is your health today?
It's not easy to talk about our health because it's an invisible injury. It's 4.5 years of excruciating headaches. It's 4.5 years of stumbling, losing my balance.
People don't understand what this kind of brain damage can do to you.
Havana syndrome. And while Kate, there's husband Doug, has recovered and is now based at the U.S. Embassy in Paris, her diplomatic service is over. A man on a murder mission with a bow and arrow. Authorities in Norway say a man armed with a bow and arrow killed 5 people and wounded at least 2 others today. His rampage in the town of Kongsberg, about 50 miles southwest of Oslo. Police there say the guy walked around the city shooting people with the arrows, apparently at random. They say he's been arrested, that they're not looking for more suspect, and it's too soon to say what his motivation might have been. People could see helicopters landing near a spot where the attacks happened. Police in Norway don't normally carry guns, but in the wake of the bow and arrow attack, they're carrying them now temporarily as a precaution. There are thousands of historic markers honoring big moments in our history. Most places, really, but especially in Pennsylvania. Now the state's adding another for a woman, leaving her own mark in more ways than one. And salt. Know how much you're eating? Here's an example. A Chick-fil-A sandwich, 1,400 milligrams, 58% of your daily recommended intake. Big Mac, just more than 1,000 milligrams, 44% of the recommended daily intake. And that's before the fries. Now the FDA is coming after that extra flavor with new guidelines on a big cutback. Roadside assistance. It's a valuable service, but a deadly business. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports accidents are the leading cause of death for tow truck drivers. And according to the CDC, at least 43 truck drivers die per 100,000 workers. For all other private industries combined, that number is only about 3. Every state of the nation has a move-over law in effect, all of them. That means drivers are required to slow down and change lanes when they approach an emergency vehicle that stopped on the side. But according to a recent survey, nearly a quarter of all drivers say they don't know there's any law about move-over. And more than 40% say they didn't know failure to move over is only somewhat or not dangerous at all to roadside emergency workers. And they were wrong. Now, a grieving mother is trying to change that. A warning. None of the crashes you're about to see was fatal. But some of the images could be disturbing. Here's CNBC's Contessa Brewer.
Caught on camera. Again.
Holy.
And again. Drivers who refused to slow down and move over.
The tractor trailer that it was oncoming hit the door of my tow truck, and that took Bobby airborne.
Tragedy hit Linda Unruh's family hard. Hers is a tow family. She was one of the first women licensed for a tow truck in New Mexico, her children riding alongside as she responded on Interstate 40. Her son Bobby joined the family business and took his own kids along for the ride. But one day,
when it took Bobby airborne, Bobby's head hit the mirror of the 18-wheeler that was coming towards them, and then the truck ran over him.
AAA says a tow truck operator is killed responding to a roadside emergency on average every other week. And then there are the police officers, medics, and motorists. Since 2015, 1,600 people have been struck and killed outside a disabled vehicle.
The reality is that when, you know, motorists are traveling down the road at 70 miles per hour and do not slow down and move over to provide space for these workers to do their jobs, They run the risk of clipping them right off at the side of the road, which is exactly what happens.
Linda Unruh channeled her fury and grief into action, fighting to get a move-over law passed in New Mexico. It's called Bobby's Law.
It changes lives forever, and he was my only son.
Linda told me she blames distracted driving. Look, these devices for preventable deaths. But she also says apps like Waze can show you, warn you, that disabled vehicles are ahead on the shoulder. So that could help prevent tragedies like the death of her son. As long as drivers just pay attention and then obey the law and just move over. Shep?
Move over, Contessa. Thank you. Historic markers. 2,000 of them are spread throughout the state of Pennsylvania. Like this one for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s Freedom Now rally back in 65. Or this one for the first organized gay rights demonstrations in all the country. Now, as Hispanic Heritage Month comes to an end, another marker. And the first for a person of Latin descent. Here's CNBC's Valerie Castro.
City halls are often the site of unveilings and flag raisings. But on this day in Philadelphia, both were held to honor a woman named Gloria Cazares. This historic marker, the first to be dedicated to a person of Latino or Hispanic descent in the state.
This marker will live beyond all of us. This marker will teach future generations about the work that we did, about the work that Gloria did.
She always saw the underdog, and she was always right there to fight for the underdog.
Her cousin Bernadette Jervis says that drive led Cazares to a path of advocacy, becoming Philadelphia's first director of LGBT affairs in 2008. She pushed for reforms that at the time created some of the broadest protections for the LGBT community of any city in the country. Under her tenure, the rainbow flag was raised at City Hall in 2010.
It was the first time that a municipal city building had the rainbow flag raised and flying against the others. And she found that she thought that was so important.
Her passion for activism grew from her time at GLAE, the Gay and Lesbian AIDS Education Initiative.
She was someone who actually understood that the job of some of us is to foment and agitate and, you know, create the spaces for political change.
David Acosta is GLAE's founder and former director.
She was very dedicated to the issues that she felt were important to her. You know, not only the rights of LGBTQ people, but the rights of Latinx people.
The historic marker unveiled last week wasn't the first public tribute to her. This mural that wrapped around a building in Philly's so-called gayborhood told her life story, professionally and personally. It went up in 2015, the year after Cazares died of breast cancer at the age of 42. 5 years later, the building was sold and the mural was abruptly whitewashed, a controversy that shattered those who knew her.
When it got torn down, it was devastating. It was extremely devastating.
But now this more permanent fixture ensures her legacy lives on.
I think ultimately, Gloria is a civil rights activist. She doesn't fight for just one thing. She would fight for anybody.
This historical marker was approved in 2020, but the dedication was delayed until this year because of the pandemic. It was unveiled not only during Hispanic Heritage Month, but also LGBT History Month. It's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which Gloria died of in October of 2014. Shep.
Valerie, thanks so much. Tens of millions of Americans who receive Social Security benefits, you're about to get bigger checks next year. The administration announced just yesterday about 70 million of you will see your checks go up by almost 6%. That's the highest increase in decades. Officials say the larger checks will start arriving in January for most recipients. And the reason? Well, rising inflation. The Social Security Administration reports the cost of living increase will be 5.9% next year. Typically, it's between 1 to 2%, at least in recent years. Hold the salt. New guidance from the FDA aims to significantly slash the amount of sodium that Americans buy in grocery stores and eat in restaurants. Right now, the average person consumes about 3,400 milligrams of sodium every day, a little more than a teaspoon, way more than what the current dietary guidelines recommend. The FDA's new guidance hopes to bring that down to 3,000 milligrams per day within the next 2.5 years. That would cut about 60 teaspoons of salt per person every year. Still above the recommended level, but experts say a very good first step. This sweeping recommendation is set to cover a variety of foods, from fast food meals to processed foods at the grocery store to baby food. It's a recommendation, not a mandate to food suppliers. The acting FDA commissioner says the new guidance will reduce cases of heart disease. According to the CDC, it's the leading cause of death in America, killing one person every 36 seconds. Wind farms, a way to produce clean electricity. Today, the Biden administration unveiled a new plan to build more of them, a lot more, like around the entire coastline of the country, more. And beam me up, Bezos. Captain Kirk heads to space aboard a Blue Origin rocket. Everything he had to say when he made it back down. Captain James Tiberius Kirk went to space today. His promise to boldly go where no man has gone before felt very real. William Shatner and the Blue Origin crew blasted off from a West Texas launch site just before 11 o'clock this morning. Their rocket soared nearly 67 miles above Earth during a trip that lasted about 11 minutes and made Shatner the oldest person ever to visit space. But it also struck a chord with generations of people inspired by his Captain Kirk and the Star Trek series. That show and the many spinoffs and movies since are at their core a promise of the future and a never-ending quest for adventure. Before blastoff, Shatner admitted he was terrified. After, he was effusive about the experience. He walked out of that capsule and started talking to Jeff Bezos. It was really moving, and we wanted you to hear it.
What you have given me is the most profound experience I can imagine. I'm so filled with emotion about what just happened. It's extraordinary, extraordinary. No description can equal this. I hope I never recover from this. I hope that I can maintain what I feel now. I don't want to lose it. It's so... it's so much larger than me and life. And it hasn't got anything to do with the little green planet, the blue orb. And it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the enormity and the quickness and the suddenness of life and death and the oh my
God. God.
It was so moving to me. This experience has been something unbelievable. You see, yeah, you know, weightless, my stomach went up and I thought, ah, this is so weird. But not as weird as the covering of blue. This is what I've never expected. Oh, it's one thing to say, oh, the sky and the thing and the fragile thing. It's all true. But what isn't true, what is unknown until you do it, is there's this pillow. There's this soft blue. Look at the beauty of that color. And it's so thin. And you're through it in an instant.
New Shepard giving them a beautiful flight to space this morning.
And suddenly you're through the blue. And you're into black. And you're into, you know, it's mysterious and galaxies and things. But what you see is black. And what you see down there is light. And that's the difference. I am overwhelmed. This thing hits. You go, oh, you know, that wasn't anything like the simulation.
The G-forces.
And you're stepping in. What's going to happen to me? Am I going to be able to survive the G-forces? You feel that?
Yeah,
am I going to survive it?
Yeah.
And then I think, good Lord, that, you know, just getting up the bloody gantry was enough. Oh, my God. What an experience.
And capsule touchdown. Welcome back, the newest astronauts.
Ah, Captain Kirk. He took some Star Trek tricorders and communicators up to space with him, all made by a then 9-year-old guy, a Trekkie named Jeff Bezos. Wind farms. Imagine them from Maine all the way around Florida, across the Gulf Coast, and then from California all the way up to Oregon. Imagine. The Interior Secretary Deb Haaland announced today her agency will start identifying federal waters all around the coastline to eventually lease wind power developers. The goal is to make it happen by 2025. The plan, part of the administration's push to reduce America's dependence on fossil fuels. President Biden's pledge to cut emissions in half from 2005 levels by the year 2030. The popular Korean drama Squid Game causing some confusion in Great Britain. These symbols are on business cards that potential Squid Game contestants receive. They're also on road signs in the UK, like this one here, about an hour west of London. According to the British Highway Code, the symbols indicate where there's an emergency detour. But police in London are assuring drivers the exit will not lead you to the popular Netflix series. According to the streaming service, Squid Game is the biggest debut ever on the platform, bringing in 111 million viewers in its first month. 50 seconds on a race to the finish, President Biden announcing a plan to keep the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach open 24/7. The move comes as the U.S. deals with a global supply chain crisis ahead of the holidays. People in Canada and Mexico could soon reunite with their family and friends in the U.S., but they'll have to be vaccinated. White House says it's reopening the country's borders next month to non-essential travelers. People who got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine could benefit more from a Moderna or Pfizer booster shot than another J&J. A new study shows those shots provide better immune response. And now, you know the news. Of this Wednesday, October 13th, 2020. Shatner, that guy should talk about everything when it's finished, you know? Never heard a poet come down out of space. I like that. See you tomorrow. You've been listening to the CNBC podcast, The News with Shepard Smith. You can always catch us live weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on CNBC.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.